Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 417th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SGP. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on football. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Snag the tickets without the stress. Use promo code SGPN on your first purchase to save $20. Download the Game Time app and use promo code SGPN. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play Underdog Fantasy, pick 'em in college or NFL, and win up to 20 times in just one game. Use promo code SGPN at Underdog Fantasy for a 100% deposit bonus of up to $100. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Hello, DeGenerinos. Welcome to episode 417. I should have listened to my co-host. Yes, I think it's 417. That's what we're going with, people. 417 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Hola, amigos. That's all my Spanish. It's dedicated to Handy Manny. Handy Manny, the TV show, the cartoon show, the kids show, where I learned my Spanish from, for Noche UFC. So my co-host, he knows a lot more Spanish. I should probably bring him in and make him do the whole podcast in Spanish. That might be interesting. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. I know French, some German, not much Spanish. But this is a special event you have going on this week. Noche UFC celebrating Mexican Independence Day. So they rented out the big room, T-Mobile Arena, for this fight night with a championship on the line. We've did the prelims last episode, so go back in your podcast feed if you haven't listened, and make sure you download and listen to that and tell some friends too. Today we're going to do the main card: props, parlays, locks, dogs, all that fun stuff as well. Let's bring in mi amigo Daniel Gumby Vreeland to help me with this show. Hello.
mi amigo,
you know, it's not me. I know.
I'm gonna out you, by the way, on live. Yes. Live on the podcast. At the end of the last podcast, he said adios, and I said it was funny because he did that for Noche UFC, and he didn't even realize that that's what he did. He was just feeling festive.
It's true. It is true. You're not gonna speak Spanish for us. You're good at Spanish, aren't you?
Así, así.
Yeah. Come sala, that means you're so-so at Spanish. Is that what you're saying?
Así means so-so, yeah.
Yeah, see, I figured it out. Woohoo! Come sala is how you say that in French, which is fun to say as well.
That is decidedly more fun to say.
It is true. Speaking of fun, this should be a pretty fun fight card, right? The prelims have some decent fights on it. We did yesterday. Main card, I don't know about the first few fights, but the top two fights definitely should be good fights.
I think the first fight we talk about is going to be an absolute banger. I think it's going to be really fun.
That may not be meaningful, but yeah, it could be a fun fight. Very, very true. So, of course, like I said, we're talking about Noche UFC, Grasso versus Shevchenko 2, which is September 16th, this Saturday, T-Mobile Arena, Paradise, Nevada. Start time 7 and I think 10. Does that sound right to you? I looked it up and I forgot already. I think it's 10. As yeah, I type into the Google machine, 10. Yes, 10 p.m. is the start time, Eastern, and it's on ESPN Plus. So we got a five-fight main card. We're going to start with a featherweight banger, Gumby promises, Fernando Padilla versus Kyle Nelson. Another Canadian. I guess he's teammates with Jasmine Jusudovicius, so they are fighting on the same card again. Wilson. Nelson, his nickname is Willie. Did you know that, Dan?
They call him Willie?
Nelson. That makes sense.
Is that really?
Apparently, he's the monster. Willie Nelson, though. Get it? Nelson?
I get it, but he's the monster.
You know who is? He sings songs?
He's the country guy.
The country guy. Yeah. Yes, he's the monster. We know him more as the monster, but he's apparently goes by Willie now, too. 14-5-1, five knockouts, four submissions is Nelson's record. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 2-4-1 in the UFC. 1-2-1 over his last four fights. However, he did win his last fight, and it hurt us, Dan, because we picked against him, right?
I definitely picked against him. I thought Blake Builder. Yeah, Blake. We were all in on Blake Builder and that terrible game planning.
Yep. Nelson's fight up at lightweight was regional champion 2012 pro MMA debut. Better grappling stats than Padilla, and he's been outstruck over his UFC career by 1.46 strikes per minute plus 205. Padilla El Valiente, which means
the valiant.
Yeah, the brave, the valiant. Yes, I will accept. Our judges will accept the valiant. He's 15-4, five knockouts, eight submissions, never been finished in a fight, 1-0 in the UFC. He's won three straight fights and 5 of 6. His last two wins have come via TKO or KO. He's not lost a fight since March of 2019. Used to fight at lightweight, used to fight at bantamweight. Regional champion, 2 inches of height over Willie, 5 inches of reach, 5 years younger. He's almost four times more active landing strikes. He outstruck his UFC opponent by almost three strikes a minute, plus 2.97, and he's at minus 250. I go first in the main card. Give me the brave over. I'm fading my Canadian once again. Bigger, younger, way better striker. As long as he's not dumb like Blake Builder, Padilla is the play.
Yeah, you said negative 240 was the number?
50, sadly.
250. I'm still on him in that number. I think he's probably good parlay fuel, or if you like the knockout prop or something like that. But I'll say the thing about Nelson is he's just too hittable. If you look at his numbers, you know, you mentioned he gets hit way more than he throws. He's getting hit at a 50% clip, and that's 4.5 strikes a minute. That's a lot to be hit by somebody like Padilla, who, like, you know, he only hit Arosa 20 times and knocked him cold. Not for anything. Julian Arosa can take a punch, or has at least been able to in the past. Now, it's not to say he hasn't also been knocked out. Alex Caceres hit him with that wild head kick, and Sung Woo Choi threw an absolute bomb. So he's been knocked out before, but he's also been in there. And, like, I mean, the Steven Peterson fight was a war. He took 150 punches in that fight and was still ticking at the end of it. So, you know, for Padilla to just be able to turn off the lights the way that he did, we know he's got some crazy power. I think Nelson is not going to like seeing somebody stand across the cage from him that's, like, as tall as him. He's not used to, you know, when you're a featherweight and you're 5'11", you're not used to being the shorter guy, and he's substantially shorter in this fight. And he's also, you know, 5-inch reach disadvantage, especially when you're facing somebody who hits like that. I think it's going to be massive here.
Yep. Padilla is the pick. I like the bigger, younger, better strikers always, and he's got them all in his favor here. All right. I've closed my window, Dan. Not my computer window, which had the fight page up. What fight are we moving to next? Remind me.
Oh, we're going to fight, do Daniel Zellhuber versus Christos Giagos.
Okay. Now I'm back on track. Daniel Zellhuber versus Christos Giagos is the next fight here at Noche UFC. And this one is at lightweight. I shall break down who first. I shall break down Mr. Giagos first. The Spartan, 20-10. 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 5 times. 6-6 in the UFC over 2 stints. 1-2 over his last 3 fights. Got knockout win in his last fight, though. I think we were on the wrong side of that one, too, right?
Yeah, I don't think I ever would have picked him against Ricky Glenn. Especially nope. Glenn coming off of that, like, banger with Grant Dawson. Yeah, definitely shocked me.
Yeah, they never forget. We never forget people who stab us in the back. So, Giago 6. I already told you all that. Multiple reach of championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2010 was the pro MMA debut. He barely outstrikes his UFC opponents, plus 0.01. You can't get any closer than that. Better grappling stats than Zellhuber. If you hear squeaking, that's my chair, not any other noise. He's at plus 230 for Giagos. The golden boy, Zellhuber, 13-1, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finishing any fight. 1-1 in the UFC, 1-0 contender series, did win his last fight, used fight at welterweight. 3-inch height, 6 inches reach, 9 years younger. So basically like Padilla, but cranked up even more. Almost 2 times more active landing strikes than Giagos. He has a positive strike differential over those 3 fights. UFC and contender series of 0.6 strikes per minute. He's at minus 230. Go ahead.
I'm going to go Crystal Giagos here.
What? This is where we're different.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been looking for dogs on this card, and it's hard with some of the bigger ones. But as far as, like, you know, if you're out there searching for a number that you're like, okay, well, that guy's clearly playable at that number, I think Giagos is your guy because, you know, I don't like Reed at her, you know, whatever she is, plus 380. I don't like, you know, Nelson at his plus 200. But like when you see Giagos here at plus 230 and then you consider how he's looked in his fights. Yes, we're talking about a guy who lost back-to-back fights before he knocked out Ricky Glenn. And he really did knock out Ricky Glenn. But the back-to-back losses were to Thiago Moises and to Arman Tsarukyan. So, like, those are really tough losses. And before that, I mean, like, he manhandled some pretty bad competition in Sean Soriano and Carlton Minus. But, like, if historically, all of his losses are to, like, very legit people. And that includes his first stint in the UFC, his second stint in the UFC, and his time in between being in the UFC. Like, he lost to, you know, Gilbert Burns and Chris Wade the first time, and that's when they released him. His first fight outside of the UFC, he had to fight Josh Emmett. Coming back into the UFC, he took a short notice fight against Charles Oliveira. Then he fought Jakar Klose, who might be the worst guy he's lost to in the UFC. And that's obviously, like, a pretty tough strength to schedule. Anytime he's fought somebody who, like, you know, maybe sucks a little bit when it comes to grappling, and Zellhuber, I'm not saying is that, but anytime he's fought somebody who, like, isn't great at grappling, he's been able to handle them. I also will say this, when Zellhuber is worried that you can take him down, you don't even have to get him down, but he's worried that you might take him down, his striking output wanes a little bit. You saw it in that Trey Ogden fight. Trey Ogden shot a takedown early and then, like, got a takedown in the second round. And after that, the output from Zellhuber was a lot less. Zellhuber only landed 52 punches in that fight. Compare that to, you know, almost 80 in his fight after that and 115 the fight before that. So, like, Trey Ogden was able to, like, sort of take him out of his game. And Giagos is a pretty good wrestler. Like, I think people sleep on how good he can be when it hits the mat. You know, we've seen good submissions from him in that Soriano fight. And, I mean, he took down Demir Hadzovic 6 times and Mizuto Harada, who were both, like, and granted, these were a while ago, they were both pretty decent wrestlers in their own right. So, like, I think he's got some grappling chops in there. I think he can scare Zellhuber, who's, like, younger and inexperienced. I obviously worry about the range, but also, you know, with Padilla, we had to worry about the power. Zellhuber is not really knocking anybody out either, so Giagos is going to be there the whole time.
All right, I'm still going Zellhuber, obviously. Bigger, younger, better striker. I just told you, that's my pattern, so I'll take it. That's the one we're going to differ on. Gumby just told you reasons why he likes his side. I didn't tell you many reasons why.
But In the next fight, we have somebody who's bigger and a better striker. Uh-oh. Are you going to go with that person?
We'll find out. We'll find out after I tell you about DraftKings. Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. Who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Nobody's missing out on the action this season. All DraftKings customers can take advantage of 2 new offers every game day this September. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SGP to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only a DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. And with all your winnings, take it over to Game Time. Get yourself some tickets to a nice event. This Game Time is the place to go for last-minute tickets and for the best prices and to check out where your seats are and all that good stuff, because Game Time and the Game Time app is the fastest-growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images of your seats before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, moving right along. Gumby is teasing me on the next fight. Am I going to take Terrence Mitchell? We shall find out, because we have Raul Rosas Jr. versus Terrence Mitchell in a bantamweight fight. Let's tell you about Mitchell first after I get my spreadsheet open. Tear Bear is the nickname. What do you think of that nickname, Dan?
Pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. Dan Bear says pretty bad. Mitchell is 14-3, six knockouts, four submissions. So he's finished everyone. He's been knocked out twice himself. 0-1 the UFC, 3-1 over his last four. He lost his last fight via TKO. All three of his wins, last three wins have come via submission. 0-1 the Ultimate Fighter. Was a regional champion. Used to fight down at flyweight. 2009 pro MMA debut. Inch of height over Rosas. 7 inches of reach on him. Better striking stats. Better, more active landing strikes. And better grappling stats than Rosas. However, Mitchell has been outstruck. This is all based off of one UFC fight. He's been outstruck in that fight by 4.73 strikes per minute. Plus 525. We got some not so good lines this week. Rosas Jr. El Nino Problema. The problem child. 7-1. One knockout. 5 submissions. Never been finishing any fight. 1-1 the UFC, did lose his last fight. 1-0 contender series. Is a pro grappler, 15 years younger than Mitchell. He's been outstruck over his UFC and contender series career by 0.61 strikes a minute. Minus 599. There's a fine line for you. I'll take Rosas Jr. here in this fight. If Mitchell wants to grapple and win by submission, good luck doing that against Rosas. So give me the kid.
Yeah, not much to say here other than you have to fade Mitchell's takedown defense against the guy who is going to shoot 100 takedowns and try to rear naked choke him in the first couple minutes. Mitchell, both in that fight with Cameron Simon and on the regional scene, just appeared not to have the takedown defense necessary. So this one's simple. Rosas Jr., obviously the play.
And Cameron Simon, Gumby's favorite fighter, got mentioned there. So there you go. Welterweights. Co-main event. Could be a main event. Kevin Holland versus Jack Della Maddalena. Kevin Holland, of course, is the trailblazer. He also goes by Big Mouth now. He is 25-9 with 1-0 contest. 14 knockouts, 7 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted 3 times. 12-6 with 1-0 contest in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights before that. He lost 2 straight. All of his last 2 wins have come via finish. Both of his last 2 wins. Used to fight up at middleweight, kind of bounces back and forth between the 2 weight classes. 1-0 on contender series, 1-0 on Bellator. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the H shirt. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. He's 2-1 as a pro kickboxer. 4 inches taller than Della Maddalena. 8 inches of reach on him. Better grappling stats. He's outstruck Della Maddalena. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.15 strikes per minute, as I butcher it all up. He's at plus 125. That would be Holland. Jack Della Maddalena, 15-2, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 5-0 in the UFC, 1-0 contender series, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at middleweight as well. 4 years younger than Holland. Striking stats in his favor, more active landing strikes than Holland. He's outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 3.77 strikes per minute. He's at minus 141. Go ahead.
I'm a little bummed he's ballooned up. But obviously,
yeah, he opened as a dog.
It was pick'em for most of the week. And we get to the podcast here. If you've not jumped on him early, I've got some bad news for you. It's gone in the wrong direction, but I'm on Jack Della Maddalena. I think for me in this fight, a lot of people are writing off Jack Della. I think the line is only as close as it is because of the weird performance against Basil Hafez. Look, late opponent change, Hafez was game as hell. I just think Jack Della is going to be too fast for Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland is the kind of guy who, when he's kickboxing with people, he needs to be the guy who can put more volume on and be more elusive. And when he's not, we see things like the Wonder Boy fight, right? Like, he looked like crap in that Wonder Boy fight. Wonder Boy stopped him, and Wonder Boy hadn't stopped anybody in a minute, you know? So for Wonder Boy to go out there and just, like, piece up Kevin Holland until, I mean, he quit that fight, right? Like, he wouldn't get off the stool for the fifth round. And you know, you want to go back to the last finish Wonder Boy had before then. It was Johnny Hendricks in 2016. So Kevin Holland, when somebody can put a pace on him and somebody can beat him up with elusive striking, he kind of crumbles. And so I think the fact of the matter is, I think that plays perfectly into what Jack Della does. I don't think Jack Della's got to worry all that much about the grappling. You know, you mentioned his grappling skills are better, but, you know, apart from submitting Michael Chiesa, who looked like he just wanted out of there. And I mean, he did submit Tim Means, but like Tim Means was like badly wobbled when he got the choke in that fight. Like, apart from those two things, like, I can't imagine anybody thinks right now that like Kevin Holland is like a pro grappler here. So yeah, give me Jack Della.
Yep. Jack Della is the pick, obviously, here. I don't think the size, the reach difference will make a difference, because I think he's going to get up in his grill, bum rush him, so to speak, and do his dirty work from there. So yeah, Jack Della is the pick, but I was shocked. Why was he a underdog? That seemed to be wacky line.
I think it's entirely the Hafez fight. Yeah. People saw that Hafez fight and they're like, oh, that guy's on short notice. And like some people who scored that fight who are idiots scored it for Hafez. Which, like, obviously he didn't win unless you want to count just like, you know, nonsense control time as being more important than striking. But like, it wasn't good optics for Jack Della. Even me as like a Jack Della fan is like, that looked bad. But also you have to consider, you know, one fighter pulled out. He had to figure out another fight right away. It was a week later. He had to cut weight twice. Like, all of those things played into that fight. And like, there's something about like getting hyped to fight Sean Brady and then having to fight Basil Hafez, you know, and there was probably a letdown there. So I'm excusing that win. I think, you know, it's a win. Why am I excusing a win? But I'm excusing that win and that performance. And I don't think originally the books did that. I think the books were like heavily punishing him for what that fight looked like.
Basil Hafez catching shrapnel from Gumby.
He's actually pretty good. I want to see him in there again. I mean, like, he's not Sean Brady, but like, again, I think him with a full camp and is going to be a fun thing to watch.
Yeah. But sadly, we are not getting Jack Della as a dog. Hopefully some of our friends have got him as a dog. When he was a dog, how long was he a dog for? Do you remember? Do you know when?
I think it kicked over. I think you could still find him at like +100 as late as like last Friday. But once the fights rolled around on Saturday, it was Pick'em. And then I think yesterday is when it turned into Jack Della on as a favorite.
Bad timing. Boo. Boo for that. Anyhow, we're picking him anyhow. And we're also picking Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets. The sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite football team all season long. With their fantasy pick'em game, you pick between 2 to 5 players, select whether they'll go higher or lower on one of their stats, then do what you usually spend your Sundays doing, watching the games. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single game by going 5 for 5. It's a fantasy game, but you can win real money. Last episode, you faded a opponent of the Cowboy. Do you have a Cowboy player pick for this coming week?
Yeah, usually they'll give you some sort of projection on over under touchdowns. Last week, I think Tony Pollard was higher or lower than 0.5 rushing touchdowns. I think he runs one in this week.
Ooh, there you go. Bold pick. So do that and then you watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right. Where are we going to now? We are going to the main event of the evening for the women, UFC Women's Flyweight Championship of the World. Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko, part two, the rematch. The challenger, we haven't said that for a long time. I guess when she went up to featherweight, she was a challenger, but she's a flyweight challenger for the first time in a long time. That would be Ella, not Antonina. What happened to her? She's been gone for a while, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's a lot older too. I almost wonder if she's gone.
Maybe. Like, she didn't really pan out like people were thinking she would because of her last name. Probably was unfair to begin with.
Yeah. Maybe a little unfair.
Yep. All right. We're talking about her younger sister, Bullet Valentina Shevchenko. She's 23-4, 8 knockouts, 7 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, 12-3 in the UFC. Used to be the champion of this weight class. Actually, she was champ from 2018 to 2023, a lengthy reign, to say the least. 9-1 of her last 10 fights. Did lose her last fight to Alexa Grasso via submission. Used to fight up at a bantamweight on and off. 2003 was her pro MMA debut. Multiple Muay Thai world champion is her. She's 2-0 as a boxer, professional boxer. Also, it's a Taekwondo champion, a Judo champion. She must have a big mantle, right, Dan?
Must.
Striking and grappling stats in her favor over Grasso, and she's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.3 strikes per minute. Minus 161 for the challenger. That means the champ is a dog. Alexa Grasso, 16-3. 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been submitted once, so she's very durable. 8-3 in the UFC, like I said, is the champion. Won her last fight via submission. It's part of a 5-fight winning streak. Has not lost fights since September 2019. Used to fight down at strawweight. Did miss weight there. Now she's a flyweight. 4-0 in a victim. 2012 pro MMA debut, 5 years younger than Shevchenko, more active landing strikes than Shevchenko. She's got a positive strike differential, 0.81 strikes per minute, plus 188. Give me the younger champion as a dog. I'll gladly take that. I think she can recapture the magic once again. It seems I always like to take the winner of the first fight in the rematch because that I don't have the official stats, but that seems to be the way these things play out, especially it seems in immediate rematches for titles. That's very often the case. Then you just get the champion winning again. They get that confidence behind them. They know they can do it. Despite Shevchenko technically winning on the scorecards, the first fight, I like the energy Grasso was putting into that fight. She never was out of it. And obviously she found a way to win. So give me the champ.
I don't have the stats on that either, but I also think, you know, I don't always go with the person who won the first one. In fact, I notoriously pick against the person who won the first one, probably more than most people do. But like when it doesn't seem fluky, I feel like I want to go back with the person who won the first one. You know, like when it doesn't seem like they just caught a strike when they shouldn't. Like I went with Usman again instead of going with Leon Edwards because that head kick seemed fluky. He was losing that fight and then he hit him in the head with a head kick. And I was like, oh, he won't be able to do that again. And then he did. This one didn't even seem fluky. And I know, like you said, Shevchenko won rounds 2 and 3 in that fight and was ahead 2-1. If you give Grasso the fourth, we were about to go into a pick 'em fifth, and Grasso was obviously the one with the momentum. She's the one who got the finish in the fourth. And not for anything, I think a lot of it is the pace that a younger Grasso can put on her. And also, not just a younger one, but one who cuts less weight. You know, she used to be a straw weight, and clearly she's found her own here at flyweight, and it's a lot of just like her speed and pace. She outstruck Shevchenko in the first one, depending on how you count strikes. If you count only significant strikes, Shevchenko's numbers are a little better. But if you count total strikes, Alexa Grasso actually threw 80 more punches in that fight than Shevchenko did, which is, I mean, that's a lot of pace over four rounds, right? Like that we're talking about, you know, 20 punches a round extra that she's throwing, which even just the optics of that looks really good to the judges. So yeah, I think Alexa Grasso can probably recapture that magic too. I like the way that her grappling is clearly coming around too. And the most important part of this entire show is that I know what Antonita Shevchenko has now been up to. While you were talking, I found out she is now a pilot. So
okay, I thought you were gonna say pregnant, but no, another P word, pilot.
No, she's an airplane pilot. So for whatever that
seems
worth.
To, yeah, that probably like some kind of warplane, a gunner. She's probably gonna go in the war or something. Those girls like their guns, but yeah, that kind of is on brand for them. Fighter pilot, that would make sense. So anyhow, all right. So Grasso is your pick as well.
Yes. Grasso. I think the pace is going to be a big piece of this.
Yep, for sure. All right. Recap. Don't go away, though. We got more picks for you. Grasso, Della Maddalena, Rojas Jr. I have Zell Hooper. He has Giagos. That is our only difference. Padilla. There are picks now for the fun part, even though that was fun as well. We're going to give you our locks, our dogs, our props, our parlays, all that fun stuff. I think it's my turn to start. For my lock, give me Jack Della Maddalena at minus 141. Love the number. We just broke down why we like it and why we like him.
Yeah, I think, I lean towards that. But for me, I'm going to actually go slightly different. I'm going to take Edgar Cherys in his fight with Daniel Lacerda. A little bit of a higher number at negative 220, but I think the value on Cherys is just like a little bit better than the value on Della.
Yep. All right. I'm going to do another fight for my dog fight. We just talked about Alexa Grasso plus 188. Love the number.
I'm going to go with, so I only had three dogs on this whole card, which is a low number for me. But I'm going to go with one of my ones from the prelim. I'll take Jasmine Jesuda Vicious. I think her against Tracy Cortez winds up being a really nice matchup for a plus 110.
All right. And for my prop play, I'm going to take, I'm doubling up again. I'm going a double.
You love the double up.
This
is the third week in a row.
Yep. It's been successful, at least last week. Give me Jack Della Maddalena via TKO or KO at plus 188. What a great number.
Nice. That's the same number as Grasso on the money line, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
The 188 across the board. I'm going to go slightly lower number than you on all of these, but I'm going to take Fernando Padilla by knockout. Like I said, I love his power and what he showed against Arosa. I think Kyle Nelson is going to have a really hard time being the shorter fighter for once. Padilla by KO is plus 165. So I'm liking that a lot, especially on a guy who's a negative 250 favorite.
All right. Sharaz Della are our locks. Jesuda Vicious Grasso are our dogs. Padilla KO, Della KO are our props. Now it's time for the Hunger Man Jong Superfan Parlay, two fight parlay, which will win us mucho money. Go ahead.
So the first one I'm going to go with is I'm going to sneak in on your dog here in Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso is fighting Valentina Shevchenko, notoriously a hard person to finish. She did finish her the first time. I know that that's true. But in rematches, both fighters tend to fight a little bit more safe, tend to stay a little bit safer. I mean, like, take all of the women's, rematches and trilogies and title fights as an example. So I think Grasso is going to take this one by decision. I like her on the cards here. Her on the cards is plus 350. So Grasso by decision, plus 350, I think is a really great value. I'm going to pair that with the guy who was my lock of the week, which was Edgar Cherise. I think there's 100 ways he could finish Daniel Lacerda, but the bottom line is he's going to finish Daniel Lacerda. I'm going to lean submission because most of Cherise's wins are by submission. And like I said, with Daniel Lacerda, he kind of just sticks himself in bad situations. That's going to give Cherise a chance to finish. Him by submission, plus 185. So if you get that with the Grasso decision, you're going to get plus 1183.
All right. Grasso decision, Cherise submission, plus 1183. The Hungerman Jong superfan parlay. Boom. We got it all crammed in your holes. We fit it all in for this week's Noche UFC. Hopefully you enjoy the event and come enjoy it with us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. At least pop in and say hi. And then if you want to just creepily read and not comment, that's quite all right. Twitter X, SGPN MMA, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer are the spots to go. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram. I got a Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Subscribe, get my writings and podcasts in your inbox, and enter my free pick-up contest every week for the UFC. And Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast, which dropped in all of our feeds yesterday, Wednesday. This week, he has a fighter interview from a fighter this week and a fighter from next week's card. Tell the people who I'm talking about.
Josh Fremd and Cody Brundage, Factory X middleweights.
There you go. And what else? Oh, of course, the mothership, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and our Patreon. Subscribe to our Patreon, help us crush corporate gambling. So we're coming back Sunday. We're going to recap and count our money from this fight night. And then we're going to have an episode with all of our contender series picks, but I'll let Gumby bid us farewell for now.
All right. I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's Jeff Willie Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.